This is an audiobook presentation of Public Enemy Zero by Andrew Main. Public Enemy Zero is available for only $1 at the Amazon Kindle store or via the Kindle app on all major tablets and smartphones, including iPads, iPhones, Blackberries, Windows 7, and Android. It's also available on the Barnes & Noble Nook store and Apple's iBooks. Or you can get a complete, uninterrupted copy of this audiobook at andrewmain.com/books. Chapter 58. Mitchell took the exit off I-75 and drove toward the heart of Atlanta. The signs for Centennial Park reminded him of another innocent man who was wrongly implicated at the center of a terrorism plot. Richard Jewell, like Mitchell, unfortunately fit the profile some people were trying to box him into. Mitchell took a right turn down Peachtree Street and traveled the last few blocks toward his final destination. He pulled the phone from his pocket that he'd taken back at the pier. He didn't turn it on just yet. He had no idea how quickly they'd be able to track it. He needed to use it for just one thing. Mitchell reached his final destination and parked the car in a no-parking zone. He left the keys inside and took the duffel bag loaded with USB drives and the 150 CDs he'd managed to burn before he drained the computer's battery. Mitchell instinctively stayed to the less populated side of the street and walked the last block. He turned on the phone and opened up the internet browser. He entered into his Twitter account and began writing a tweet. Over the last 2 days, hashtag MadMitch had been a non-stop trending topic. His Mad Mitch FM Twitter account had over 700,000 followers, and he had good reason to believe more than a few of them were in a 3-block radius. Mitchell finished his tweet and clicked send. Of course, nothing happened at first. He just stood on the corner of Harris and Peachtree, just one more person in a spacesuit in the middle of Dragon Con, surrounded by 500,000 other freaks that had grown up isolated, wanting to connect and not knowing how. He watched as elves, Klingons, zombies, and hundreds of various superheroes walked around from hotel to hotel, going to the different events scattered around Atlanta for the one weekend out of the year that geeks took over. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see two girls with fairy wings running toward him. One of them was holding an iPhone and pointing at him. He watched the doors of the Hyatt as they burst open, and a crowd of men and women in Jedi costumes came running out of the hotel, moving in his direction as well. His tweet had been retweeted over and over and over again 1,000 times in the span of just a few minutes. Some thought it was a joke. Maybe his Twitter account had been hacked. But anyone within walking distance had to come see for themselves. At Dragon Con. Love me. Hate me. Come say hello. Find the truth. Don't worry. I have protection. As dozens of bodies ran toward him, Mitchell held up his blue spacesuit-covered arms. He closed his eyes and waited. If it was going to end, it was going to end right there. The USB drives, the CDs were at his feet. Some of them were bound to get out. And at that point, that's all he cared about. He couldn't run anymore. If he just stopped, they won. If he ruined their secret, then Mitchell won. That's all that mattered. He could get torn to 1,000 pieces for all he cared. Mitchell heard footsteps getting closer, his eyes tight shut. The spacesuit would only keep his scent in. It couldn't protect him from their anger, and that was fine. If they saw the devil, then they should pay him his due. Mitchell shuddered as he felt the first body hit him. Only, it wasn't a tackle. There was no growling, no horrific screaming. He felt other hands reach out to touch him. Mitchell opened his eyes and looked down at a petite teenage girl with thick glasses, stringy hair, and fairy wings. She was hugging him. He looked around as dozens of hands reached out, not to rip him apart, but to connect with him, to tell him that he wasn't alone, to tell him that they believed him. Mitchell fell to his knees and opened the duffel bag. He began handing out the CDs and USB sticks. Some people pulled out laptops from backpacks and began to read what was inside. Others took them and ran back to the hotel rooms and office centers to print out what was there. By the time the police showed, Mitchell had a ring of over 1,000 costume misfits blocking the streets and sidewalks for 2 blocks in either direction. Many didn't know why they were there at first, but word quickly spread. They were there to protect Mad Mitch when the word got out. Hundreds of blogs uploaded PDFs describing the illegal biological warfare that was taking place. Details of the unauthorized vaccination of the public with a faulty vaccine quickly spread. CNN, headquartered just a few blocks away, had anchors reading the contents of the documents on air as they tried to make sense of it all. In the middle of it all sat Mitchell. He answered questions from people all around him. Others walked by and gently patted him on the shoulder or gave him a hug. The girl Fairy, who had helped first reach out to him, organized people in a protective perimeter around him. Men and women in stormtrooper uniforms from the 501st stood guard, helping to keep the government officials far away by gathering crowds to block him. Someone had the good sense to bring Mitchell extra oxygen tanks to his spacesuit so he didn't suffocate in the middle of the crowd. By nightfall, the whole world was trained on the events that were going on in downtown Atlanta. A group of CDC scientists, who happened to be at the convention as cosplayers, were able to make their way down to Mitchell's court and sit and talk to him. They'd seen the Great Wall documents and were appalled. They talked to Mitchell about a strategy to get him to safety. The naked man from the forest walked through the crowd. He was wearing the other self's clothing. Of course, in the crowd, he might have blended in more easily if he had worn nothing at all like he did in the forest clearing. In his backpack were the 12 eggs he'd been ordered to bring to the dark man in the middle of the crowd. He couldn't understand at first why the Earth Mother had chosen this thorn of a man to have the precious eggs. Did she mean for him to break them open in front of him? Was he just supposed to give them to him? Breaking them all open at once didn't make any sense. Just one was enough to kill everyone he could see and bring pestilence to the continent. 12 was overkill. They were meant to be spread apart, each one with their own plague. Was the Dark Man chosen because he was a secret survivor? Was he chosen because his ordeal was just a trial? The naked man from the forest paused when he thought that the Dark Man was chosen because he had bested him. Was that it? Had he failed so much in the eyes of the Earth Mother, she'd chosen his enemy as her new lover? His stomach was in knots. He didn't want to give the eggs to the man. He wanted to prove himself. He wanted the Earth Mother for himself. He couldn't fight her. He had to try to follow her orders. He moved toward the Dark Man in the center. A hand reached out and stopped him. "Who are you?" asked a man dressed in white plastic armor. The naked man from the forest hesitated. He couldn't say the name of the other self. He was a wanted man now. He tried to walk around the man. 3 more people in armor gathered around him. "What's in the bag?" asked one of them in a muffled voice. A gloved hand reached toward the bag, toward the eggs. He swatted it away. "Gifts. Gifts for Mitchell." 2 of the armor-wearing people looked at each other. "Let's see the gifts." The naked man from the forest pulled away. He had been told to only give them to the man. He couldn't let them see the eggs. More people gathered around. He gave them a nervous look. There was no way he was going to get to him. He tried, but he failed. He pulled back from the people in the plastic armor. His eyes darted from left to right as people looked at the bag. He threaded through the crowd of costumed people and ran away. He'd tried. The Earth Mother would have to know he was sincere. This had been a test, he decided. The Earth Mother wanted to know if he was willing to follow her orders. He had. He was sure that she would be proud. At midnight, the crowd was still growing. A CNN news crew had been allowed through, and Mitchell told them everything, including the train wreck and the body he thought was in the trunk of his car. Another news team corroborated the story when they found a man that had been pulled from the train wreckage with bogus Department of Transportation identification. As dawn approached, Mitchell had done what he had set out to do. The word was out. He told his side of the story for the first time in what felt like an eternity. He was able to be in the middle of a crowd and not feel intense rage. In fact, he felt the opposite. Everywhere he looked, he saw a sympathetic face. A new deal was brokered, and Mitchell left his spot where he'd been sitting for almost 24 hours and walked toward an ambulance waiting to take him into isolation over at the CDC a few miles away. People high-fived him and touched him on the shoulder as he made his way through the crowd that answered his plea. Mitchell got inside the ambulance and sat next to two of the scientists that he'd spoken to earlier. They'd changed out of their fantasy costume and donned spacesuits like his. One of them mentioned a possible treatment they could give to Mitchell, which might change his body's pheromonal trigger. Another said they might be able to rapidly develop an anti-anti-Mitch virus, which would allow medical workers and other people to be around him without spacesuits and try not to rip his face off. Mitchell made a comment about being able to look forward to not having to post ads on Craigslist for women who are into gas mask sex, and fell asleep for the short ride to his new home. Chapter 59. The vice president offered a letter of resignation the next day, on the orders of the president. The FBI raided the offices of Athena Biomedical. When a team in hazmat suits searched the labs, they found the unconscious body of Nick Arturos near an open refrigerator. The back of his skull had been cracked with a fire extinguisher. Miraculously, he survived. When he was finally coherent enough to talk, they asked him if he knew the whereabouts of Dr. Baylor and what was in the 12 vials that were missing from the refrigerator. He requested a lawyer before he would say anything about the vials. All he would say was that it was Baylor who had hit him with the fire extinguisher when he came for the vials. That, and that Baylor was inexplicably naked when he walked into the lab, and his balls and dick were covered in red welts. Steinmetz had gone missing as well. Epilogue. The naked man in the forest looked upon the face of the Earth Mother on the oak. He hadn't needed to touch a blotter for her to appear. He placed the 12 vials proudly in front of her. She smiled down on him. "What now, Earth Mother?"
"Soon, my son, we will bring light to the world once and for all. We'll bring the 12 plagues to the four corners of the earth and end man's reign. Then it shall just be you and me in the garden." Helicopters flew by overhead looking for him. It would be in vain. He had the Earth Mother to look out for him. The Dark Man had been a setback. Like Great Wall, he had been a test. Because of it, he knew that the contents of the eggs would reach wide when they were cracked. Each one would bring a different pestilence onto man. He packed the vials back into the backpack and walked deeper into the forest. Earth Mother told him that there were friends waiting, friends that would help their cause, friends of the Earth, who knew that man's time had come to an end. This concludes the audio presentation of Public Enemy Zero, written by Andrew Main, narrated by Justin Robert Young. If you've enjoyed this presentation, do us a favor. On Twitter, tweet out anything you'd like with the hashtag RunMitchRun. This is an audiobook presentation of Public Enemy Zero by Andrew Main. Public Enemy Zero is available for only $1 at the Amazon Kindle store or via the Kindle app on all major tablets and smartphones, including iPads, iPhones, Blackberries, Windows 7, and Android. It's also available on the Barnes & Noble Nook Store and Apple's iBooks. Or you can get a complete, uninterrupted copy of this audiobook at andrewmain.com/books.